3rd and 4 for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
This is WZBC Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another WZBC Sports podcast. Today I'm joined by Matt Marosco, and we're going to be talking some BC basketball on this podcast.
Absolutely.
And maybe talking a little bit how Matt's preseason basketball projection may be the only one that comes true this season. Unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. We might even edit it, the soundbite in over here or something so you guys can hear it. But yeah, and again, just going back to the records, look, I agree. I think we have the potential to go 18-12. I think there's a lot of toss-up games.
Yeah,
and I think 18-12.
And a lot of those games are on the road.
Right. And I could see us going 18-12. I could also see us going 12-18.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We win all our toss-up games, we're 18-12, and everything's beautiful. We lose them all, we're 12-18 and talking about a new basketball coach at this time next year. Or, you know what I mean? You know, you go 500-ish and you end up at 16-14. I just kind of split the difference. There were a bunch of games where I haven't seen this team play. I haven't seen him.
There's a lot of questions still. Who's going to step up on offense? We talked about that for a ton earlier. Who's going to fill the void that Jerome left? Who's going to score besides Kai?
Yeah, so when I was going through the schedule and there was a game that I couldn't pick, I just literally just went one in the loss column, one in the win column, one in the loss, one in the win, and just went down like that and ended up at 16-14. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I think it's a very, very telling year, like you said, Jack, for Coach Christian. Right now we're sitting at 11-11, and I think, and Jack would agree with me here, if we hit 15-15, we take that as a win down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this team's definitely underperformed some expectations we had. Maybe we were too high on them going into the season. There were a lot of questions with this team, especially after losing Jerome. But, you know, looking at the games down the stretch left for this Boston College team, you're looking at a game against Pittsburgh at home, which is a winnable game.
You should win that game.
Then Miami comes in. Miami, unranked, should be a good game. Also a winnable game.
Also a game you should win. Yeah, Miami is down there at the bottom of the league. I think they have one or two conference wins.
Yep. Then you go down to NC State. That's going to be a tough one.
That'll be tough, yeah.
Then you're in Clemson, another tough one. Then number 16, Louisville, comes to BC. That's
potential upset.
Potential upset. Another tough game, though. Then in Georgia Tech,
toss-up game.
Yeah. And then UNC comes here, and that is over spring break, so you got to imagine Conte won't be as full as it should be. The crowd won't be as much of a factor, and we have as talented as a team as UNC coming into play. That's a very, very tough game for BC to win. And then you end the season with NC State coming to Boston College again over that spring break time period. So again, the stadium won't be as full as it should, which would definitely hurt the Eagles. So when you look at that schedule, there's a lot of tough games, you know, in NC State, in Clemson, you know, Louisville at BC, UNC coming here, NC State coming here. You know, there's five or six games there that look really tough that, you know, just at first glance, you'd probably say we lose those games. And, you know,
Yeah.
There goes the potential 500 at the end of the season. We could be easily looking at under 500.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just the nature of playing in the ACC, right? And two of the losses that I didn't really account for came in non-conference. So two games, the IUPUI game, and who else did we lose to? Was it Hartford?
Yeah, it was.
Hartford and IUPUI. Two games that I thought would be in the win column, so then down the stretch we wouldn't have needed to go 500 to be 500 because I expected to come into conference play with a little bit of a better record. But that's just the nature of playing in the ACC. There are no days off. There are no bad teams in the ACC that you can circle.
Yeah, this conference is absolutely loaded.
Yeah, this is the SEC of basketball. This is by far the best conference in the country. You can't argue it any other way. There just aren't any easy games, and that's just the nature of it, and you have to show up week in and week out And, you know, at times BC has done that, but at times they've struggled to against some of these traditional blue bloods of college basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, yeah, it's hurt us. So, I mean, we can talk kind of about some of the players, and, you know, we're more than halfway through the season here, so we can kind of talk about what we've seen. Kai Bowman's playing like we thought Kai Bowman would play. He's been the star of the team. He's been the bright spot. He's averaging just under 40 minutes a game. He's right around that 39-minute mark, which is incredible. I mean, he routinely plays the full 40 in conference games. You rarely see that. That just kind of shows how important he is to this team and how much we need him out there on the court, because when he goes off the court, you know, things can get out of hand very quickly. And also going off of that, he's the third highest scorer in the ACC, much like Jerome Robinson, who led scoring in the ACC last year. Kai is now third in the ACC, behind, of course, Zion and RJ Barrett of Duke.
Yeah. I actually, going into the season, I did not have very high expectations for Kai. There were a lot of parts of his game that I thought he needed to improve on, his shot selection and his assist-to-turnover ratio, and he has improved on both of those. So I give him a ton of credit, and I really like the progression that his game has made so far this year. But that being said, you know, Kai is not Zion Williamson.
No.
He is not RJ Barrett. He is not a guy that can go win a game by himself. And that really, you know, then you look for support for Kai. Really, who is going to be that guy? And nobody's really stepped up. Winston Tabbs at the beginning of the year looked very promising as a freshman, but he's spent a lot of time injured.
Mm-hmm. He's been out for a while. He's been out for a couple of months now.
Yeah, yeah. So he... It's a tough loss when you lose somebody that you plan on being a key part. And he would have been the guy to spell Kai Bowman. That's part of the reason why Kai is having to play 40 minutes a game right now, is because we don't have it. There is no backup point guard. We don't have somebody that we can go to. Similarly, Chris Herron Jr. started off. He played really, really well in the non-conference. His conference play has come around. He's slowed down a little bit, which is expected of a freshman, especially a freshman who was a non-scholarship player to start the year. People forget that.
Yeah. You know, the ACC is also just... I mean, he was great non-conference, like you said, and once you get into the ACC, it's just a different beast. The athleticism, the talent, the height, everything about it just makes it so much harder. Another guy that hasn't, you know, started as well as we thought he would be Jarius Hamilton, the four-star recruit. We had such high hopes for him. And he is still incredibly gifted.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a great basketball player. But I think I for one, just thought, you know, I put the bar too high for him coming into his freshman year. You know, he's shown flashes where he's, you know, incredible athletic plays. But at the same time, he's been kind of inconsistent. I think he's averaging around 5 points per game. So he hasn't been the contributor we thought he would be. And that's another aspect that's hurt this team in terms of, you know, where are the points going to come from?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I have not given up hope on Jarius by any stretch of the imagination. No. I think everybody had high expectations. He's the most highly touted recruit since Reggie Miller. So you're going to have high expectations. That's just, again, the nature of being a four-star recruit coming to play in a Power 5 conference. But that being said, there are a couple things that I really, really like about Jarius. Number one, his motor. He is just going, going, going. He has a lot of Stephon Mitchell in him in that he's a gritty player, and he's going to scrap for rebounds. He's going to block shots. He's going to get on the floor for loose balls, and that's something that this team needs, and they need a lot of because you don't get it from other guys on this team other than Steph. So that aspect of his game has been very, very good. And the other thing that I was really worried about at the beginning of the season is that when he first got here and he wasn't performing, it could have very easily gone to his head. He starts hanging his head and then kind of tanks. But you haven't seen that. You've seen him continue to keep his head up, continue to work hard, and continue to help this team in other ways than scoring. You know, he's a guy that can switch 1-4 on defense, and that's something that we really haven't had at Boston College in a while. Certainly didn't have it last year after Hawkins got hurt. So he's helped the team in other ways, and I think his offense will progress. And by the time he ends up, you know, in his junior and senior year, I think we'll see he's a real talented guy, and we'll have a very good player on our hands here.
Yeah, no, I think the ceiling is still very high for him. I just kind of think he needed a year or two,
absolutely,
just to adjust to the level of play. He's still incredibly gifted athletically. We've seen that, and I think he should be a fine player. He just needs a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about him, we should talk about his brother, Jared Hamilton, who's been a nice addition to this team, especially recently in conference games. He's stepped up big time. Been providing a lot of great minutes, and he's been starting games. You know, I mean, we thought, you know, at the beginning of the year, this is another guy. He's like, he'd be a good, you know, just add to that bench a little bit, you know, can provide some minutes. And now he's a guy that's starting games for us, you know, because you have the injuries to guys like Winston and Jarius hasn't been as good as we thought. But he's been a nice contribution to this team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Jared Hamilton, this is his eighth school in 8 years. He went to four different high schools, two colleges before this, and obviously a middle school before that. So that all adds up to eight. Trust me with the math. And yet, he's been an unexpected bonus. I think that he gives BC great minutes when he's in the game.
He does.
He plays very, very hard defensively. He knows his role offensively. And he doesn't take bad shots.
Yeah.
For the most part, he takes good shots. He stays within the offense. He doesn't try to do too much. And he's been a valuable contributor to this team. I'm looking forward to watching him play next year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, he doesn't take bad shots. Every time you see him put up a shot, it's a good look. He doesn't force anything. Yeah, he plays in that offense well. So he's been a nice addition. But yeah, I mean, we can talk some other guys. Popovich, I would say he's improved this year. We've seen it. He's had some great games. Still a little inconsistent at times. But, you know, sometimes he gives you flashes of greatness down low in the paint, you know, backing defenders down, you know, spin moves to get to the rack. So he's done a nice job, and I think next year we can expect even more from him, going off of how we talk about some of these players are going to be even better next year.
Absolutely, yeah. Pop has had a great year, and he's one of those guys that, I mean, he has just progressed every year that he's been here. You look at his points per game, he's gone up every year, and he's averaging, you know, double digits. I think he's averaging, what, close to 12 or 15 points a game? I think
he's
right around
13. He's at 13.
Yeah, so he's had a great season, and you get what you get with Pop. You can just pencil him in. He's so consistent. You can just pencil him in for the 13, night in and night out. Mm-hmm. You never have to worry about him having a down game because he really doesn't. And where he struggles would be on the defensive end at times just because he's out-athleticized by some of these guys. But again, that's just the nature of playing in the ACC. You're going to have the best collegiate athletes playing college basketball are in this conference. You know, Zion Williamson, if Nick Popovich gets out-athleticized by Zion Williamson, that's fine because so does everybody else in the country.
Yeah.
So you take what you can get with Pop, and I think, you know, he's just very consistent. He's like a rock. He reminds me almost of Al Horford for the Celtics.
Yeah. You just know what you're going to get. It's just...
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no question marks really with it.
Yeah, it's not flashy, but he goes out there and he produces. And after he got benched after the IUPUI game, and from that point on, he's played very, very good basketball.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, that's really the guys that, you know, Christian gets here. He's not able to get the four, the five-star guys. He's looking at three-star guys and lower. And this is a Pop. I mean, I don't know what he was not highly touted coming to BC. And you look, every year he gets a little bit better. He makes these guys better and better. Same thing with Jerome. Jerome was, what, a three-star? And ends up becoming the 13th overall pick. So that's just kind of the process you have to trust here at Boston College. You're never going to get the one-and-dones.
Right? No. Is fine.
Exactly. You have to take guys, groom them into the system, and just improve them year after year, so by the time they get to their senior year, they are great players. They are stars, and that's just the process you have to go with here. That being said, Matt, I want to know your take, because I remember this from the preseason podcast. You were talking a lot about Jim Christian, and look, now he's 11-11. We're more than halfway through the season. Tough games coming up. There's a good chance this team finishes under 500. How short is the leash on Christian, would you say?
That's a great question, because part of me thinks that if you finish with four or fewer conference wins, it would be tough to invite him back to continue to coach.
Right.
That being said, you know, he does have a good core of freshmen right now, and you don't want to jeopardize that and risk them transferring. And there's something to be said for continuity.
Yeah.
And we talked about this in the preseason podcast that, you know, a guy comes in knowing that he's going to be able to play under this coach for a while. There's something to be said for continuity. That being said, I'm just not super impressed by the way this team has performed this year. And honestly, last year, I think some of the success was in spite of Coach Christian, not because of Coach Christian. But we'll see what happens. I mean, he does show flashes. He started to do he's made a couple of adjustments that I really, really like, including starting halves in a soft full court press, which it's not to turn people over. You will generate some turnovers, but it's just a little zone press just to get his guys running and get them engaged early in the game, because a lot of times this team would come out flat.
Yeah.
But now getting them engaged early, I like that a lot. I like that adjustment that he's made. So we'll see what happens. You know, I think it's a lot like Coach Adazio. He's spent quite a bit of time here now, and you kind of know what you're going to get. So it's going to be up to Martin Jarman, who I trust implicitly right now. I know he's only been here for a year.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's been absolutely great. So I trust him implicitly in his judgment to figure out and to guide this program in the best direction, what he sees fit. It'll be interesting to see as well this recruiting class coming up for Boston College, who we get, and how that recruiting class goes, because I think that'll also have a pretty big impact. If we have a solid recruiting class coming in, I think we have a better chance of Coach Christian staying. If that's not the case, then we might be talking about a new coach for next season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a lot of the points you said right there make sense. That's kind of my thought on it as well. If you're looking at a team that, you know, only four conference wins, and especially I think the big thing is coming off of last year. You know, this team might have been ahead of expectations. We might have outperformed what we really were capable of. But you had Jerome and Kai, right? And, you know, this team, you know, there were talks of maybe NCAA playoff for a little bit. You upset Duke at home. You go to the NIT tournament. You play meaningful postseason basketball, right? You make that quick little run in the ACC tournament.
Great run.
There were a lot of flashes last year that kind of gave everyone hope. And so taking that step backwards definitely hurts. You know, this team is not as good as it was last year. It's not going to be an NIT play.
No.
So that definitely hurts, and it definitely looks bad on Coach Christian. And I agree with you. I think the recruiting class is going to say a lot. You know, the points you said earlier make sense. If you cut him off, then do you lose freshmen? Do you lose a guy like Tabs, who he hasn't played a lot this season, but he was great.
Yeah.
This team has really missed him. He was great. And you saw him and you're like, this is a freshman. This guy's going to be great by the time he's a, you know, even his sophomore year is going to be incredible. Just wait for his junior year. So, you know, I agree with what you say. I think it's going to be a tough decision, but at the end of the day, we have to trust Martin.
Yeah.
Hope he figures it out. But yeah, it should be interesting because this season has a chance of ending pretty ugly. As we said, there's a lot of good teams still to play on that schedule. So it could be, there could be a change come the next basketball season.
Yeah, absolutely. And now one thing, you kind of made a point there, or alluded to a point about how Winston Tabbs were saying he's going to be very good down the road. And that's one thing that I think Coach Christian does not get enough credit for, is his ability to develop players. So whatever his X's and O's, whether or not you agree with his X's and O's strategies, or how he motivates the team, or the way in which the team plays, the defense that they play, the intensity that they play with, however much of that reflects on the coach is really, you know, it's up to personal debate and personal opinion. He develops his players, and players come here and they get better. And there's no two ways about that. So I think that he deserves all the credit in the world for that. You know, developing a guy like Kai into an NBA prospect, developing Jerome Robinson into a lottery pick, you know, and even Nick Popovich, developing a guy into a double figure scorer. So I think that's something that you have to take into consideration. But the thing is, even as we're developing these players into super quote unquote superstars, we're still not winning, you know.
Yeah.
Which I think that might be where we have to draw the line, is that yes, we're developing players into superstars, and we're trusting the process. We know we're not going to go get a Zion Williamson or a player like that, but you know, if you trust the process, like Notre Dame, I think is a good example of this.
Yeah.
They're not very good this year, but they know that in the next couple of years, they were very good the last couple of years, and they know that in the next couple of years they'll be very good again.
And how long has their coach been there? He's been there forever.
Yeah, Mike Bray's been there forever. So, but the thing is, when they're developing players, they can look to the future and say, yes, we're not good this year, but we will be good in the future as these guys develop. We're sitting here and, you know, we know that these players are going to develop, but we don't know that we're going to be a top 20 team when they do develop, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the catch-22 of developing players, but there's a difference between developing players and developing a winning culture around a program.
Yeah, absolutely. And that winning culture hasn't been around our basketball program for a while now. So, yeah, like I said, it's going to be it could be a very tough call because there's a lot of things to consider. And, yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance if we end under 500, I think there's a decent chance that he's gone next year. But we'll just have to see. I mean, we kind of talked about predictions the rest of the way. What about, let's look ahead even to next year. Do you think, you know, we've talked about some of these guys getting better, you know, Tabs will be there, Kai will be gone, most likely.
Yeah.
Kai's going to be in the draft,
yep.
And Chapman will have graduated. So you'll lose those two.
I think this team is better next year than it was this year.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think Hamilton, but you'll have both Hamilton brothers for another year.
Yep,
I think
Popovich.
Jarius will take steps. Popovich, every year he's been here, has improved. Tabs was great when we saw him, and giving him more minutes, you know, as the number one point guard will only help him.
Steph.
Yeah, Steph. Again, I don't even know if we talked about Steph in this podcast, but
he's the best.
Exactly.
We love him. We love
Steph. So I agree with you. I think this season, if I had to use one word for it, disappointing. I think the bar just got set a little too high after last year. And
yeah.
Matt, congrats. You kind of saw through it a little bit. You were like, I'm not too sure. And yeah, that's kind of how the season's gone.
Yeah. So you mentioned predictions. What do you think our final record is going to be?
Let me see. How many games do we have left? We have 8 left. And then ACC tournament. I think they'll be under 500. I really do. I'd say like 1 or 2 games under 500. How did I think they play like what 30-ish? So maybe like a 15-17.
Yeah. So I think I'm gonna lowball that a little bit. I think this team finishes with 13 wins this year. I think we get 2 more. I think we beat Miami and Pittsburgh. 13. I put the absolute ceiling at 14. Maybe we steal that Louisville game. I like that as a little bit of a trap game for Louisville.
It is also like it's a Tuesday night 9 p.m.er though.
Tuesday night 9 p.m.er.
So it won't have the crowd. Like
we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how the crowd is for that. But I still think that could be a little bit of a trap game because you know Tuesday night 9 p.m. Louisville's not going to be
right,
all geared up and ready to go. So we'll see what happens. I think yeah. I think we finish with 4 or 5 ACC wins. Finish yeah. Say we. I'll give us 3 more wins. So that we'd finish at 14-16.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you around there. I mean, it's been, right now we're riding a 4-game losing streak in the ACC, but before that, you know, we saw the upset of Florida State at home. They were number 22 at the time, so that was a big win. You go down to Wake Forest, you win that one. Not, a, you know, Wake Forest, but still, I mean, this team's shown some signs. They're in most of the games. When they played Virginia, they got blown out. Duke was tight through the first half. I will give them that. But, I mean, they've been in some games, so I definitely wouldn't completely count them out to only win, like, 2 or 3 going forward. But I feel like, realistically, yeah, maybe, you know, 3 wins in the season, maybe they win first round in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, it'll depend on how the bracket shakes out for that. I don't know if, do they do a play-in game or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's what they had last year.
Yeah, so if we play in a play-in game, then we might win the play-in game, but I don't see us going beyond that.
Yeah, not like last year.
No.
So I think that about wraps it up for this basketball podcast. We're more than halfway through the season. I'm sure we'll have another one at the end of the season just to kind of go over it, talk some player stats.
A recap. Break it down.
Yeah, what went right, what went wrong, what to look forward to for the next year. So anyway, that was our basketball podcast. Until next time, thank you for listening.
Santini, make a nice little pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot. Oh! Tuck scores! Eagles win! The Eagles have won the 2016 Bean Bunt Championship!
Catch all the excitement of Boston College Athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student-athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.